The Bible reading today is from Acts chapter 14, 1 to 20. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual to the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews, who refused to believe, stirred up trouble, and the Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly to the Lord, who confirmed the message of this grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to ill-treat them and to stone them. But they found out about it and they fled to Iconium, cities of Lystra and Derbe, to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. In Lystra, there sat a man who was crippled with his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed, and he called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw that Paul had done, they shouted in Lyconian language, "The gods have come to us in a human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was a chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought balls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifice to them. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting loud, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from your worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth, sea and everything in them." In the sea and everything. In the past, he let all the nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in the season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. But they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back to the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I don't know what your experiences are like in going to another country, but generally when you go to another country, there are different cultural norms and laws and regulations that you have to read up on. When I lived in Poland, one of the rules that caught some people out was you're not allowed to cross the road unless you're at a zebra crossing. Because if you cross the road, no cars coming, you cross the road, you can get a fine. Isn't that right, Evelinka? And I actually remember once at the tram station, a big crowd of people, and this little old lady, she went for it. She thought no one was watching. And all of a sudden, these two police came and said, "Excuse me, come back, and gave her a fine. Sadly, in some countries, one of the things that happens is it's bad to be a Christian. It's illegal to be a Christian. And Christians get persecuted around the world. Chris, I wonder if you could put a slide up. Not that one, sorry, the next one. So I've just put four pictures there of pictures that represent some Christians that have been persecuted. Only recently, this week or last week, that young couple in the blue that you can see, that's Davy and Natalie Lloyd. They were missionaries in Haiti and they were murdered. Next, you have Paul and Ruth Musa from Nigeria. And he's a pastor and his wife, and they've been kidnapped. by Boko Haram in Nigeria. And then below the couple in blue, we have Esmail Narimanpour. He's Iranian. He was arrested on Christmas Eve around 6 p.m. He was amongst 46 Christians being arrested by the Iranian police in a crackdown on house churches during the Christmas period. And then that barbed wire, that's actually of a place in North Korea, and they estimate that there's between 50 to 70,000 Christians imprisoned in North Korea. People like you and me in prison camps, 50 to 70,000 of them imprisoned in North Korea, simply for having a faith in Jesus Christ. It's dangerous being a Christian. It's dangerous going to other countries with the gospel message. According to Open Doors, 1 in 7 Christians in this world are persecuted. Last year, figures that we know, 4,998 Christians were murdered for their faith last year. 14,766 churches and Christian buildings were attacked last year. 3,906 Christians were abducted for their faith. It reminds me of the words that Jesus said in John 15, 18 to 20. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to this world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember, I told you, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. It's dangerous being a Christian. They crucified Jesus, and they will persecute us too. And so we come to the world of Acts, the book of Acts. As you all know by now, it's written by Luke to a guy called Theophilus, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke to Theophilus, and now we've got the book of Acts. This is the story of the early church, which spans 30 to 35 years. So keep that in mind when you read Acts, you see all these wonderful things happening, and you say to yourself, why can't the church be like the first church in Acts? Well, next week we'll hear loads of testimonies. There's loads of things that God is doing in people's lives that is really encouraging. And in the book of Acts, it explains how the gospel of Jesus Christ was spread. Acts 1:8, Jesus, as he was ascending, said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So it's interesting that in fulfilling God's plan for us to go and spread the gospel, it was actually persecution that helped that happen. And so we went to Paul's first mission. So the story so far, the church started in Antioch for the Gentiles. Barnabas brought Paul to Antioch. They both set out on mission across the Cyprus. They preached from town to town across Cyprus from east to west, where they went to Paphos. They met a sorcerer called Elymas. They preached the gospel there, and the proconsul, the person in charge, Sergius Paulus, became a Christian. And then they sailed north to Perga and eventually arrived in Pisidian Antioch, and they went to the local synagogue and preached the gospel. They were a massive hit, and hundreds gathered to listen to what Paul and Barnabas had to say. The amazing thing was, loads of people went to listen. And there were people that got jealous over Paul. And so they started to cause some problems. And in the end, they expelled Paul and Barnabas. And what did Paul and Barnabas do before they left? They shook off the dust. We don't tend to have dusty roads here in this country, but culturally speaking, it wasn't a good thing. In fact, Jesus actually says that to his disciples in Matthew 10, 14 to 15. It says, if people don't welcome you, then shake the dust off your feet as a warning. And so they left Pisidian Antioch, and now they travel to a place called Iconium. And this would be the last part of the missionary journey. I'm sure you're all happy that we're coming to the end of the first mission. Okay, and what an experience it was. A mixture of a synagogue visiting, miraculous things going on, teaching, all sorts. I don't know about you, but sometimes do you wish your week could be full of excitement? It may be. All of you might think, I have a really exciting life, full of lots of things going on. Who's ever been on mission? Put your hand up if you've ever been on any kind of mission. Aren't they exciting? Full of adventure? You're shattered by the end of it. You can't wait to be home, but it's like, oh, what happened there, God? What happened there? There's three things I want to bring out of this passage. We go to the next one. Thanks, Chris. Three things. To serve where you are or where you're sent, to look around, and to three, to stand on the rock. So let's look at serve where you are or where you're sent. We notice in the very first verse of chapter 14 that Paul, as usual, visited the local synagogue. And many Jews and Greeks became followers of Jesus. And those who didn't started to cause trouble, just like in the previous town. And they poisoned their minds against the brothers. Then Paul and Barnabas stayed and spent considerable time there speaking boldly. And God allowed them to perform signs and wonders. The Lord allowed this. Now they had a bad experience. If I was Paul and Barnabas and I left Pisidian Antioch where they turned against me, I'd keep a bit quiet, keep my head down. Yeah, I don't really want to be persecuted again. I don't like that. It's not a nice experience. But they didn't. They did what God asked them to do. They were serving God where they were and where they were sent. Now, all of you, you are here, unless you're a visitor, of course, you are here in Louth for a reason. It's not a mistake that you're in Louth. Each one of you has your own local synagogue to visit. Now, I'm not saying to go looking for a Jewish synagogue, but maybe your synagogue that you visit is a club of some kind. Chair aerobics could be some people's synagogue. Where do you go? Who do you hang out with? Who are the people that you speak with on a regular basis? God wants you to be a witness for that group. He doesn't want you to keep it all quiet. You are a witness. We need to serve God where you're at or where he has sent you. You may be the only Christian that some people know. Have you thought about that? Now, 50 years ago, this country had a Christian culture. Now it's less and less. So when you walk through that door and you meet someone on the street, they may know no Christians in their life. You may be the only Christian that they meet. You may be the only one that they meet who has any kind of Bible knowledge. There are people out there that's never picked up a Bible in their life. But you have had so much Bible knowledge, for many of you, and you know verses off by heart. So think about that as you witness, that you are the only Christian that some people will ever meet, and you have the knowledge of Scripture that some people will never read from a Bible. But remember this, because when I was at school, I used to pray for my class, and I prayed that people would come to know Jesus Christ. And I got into this, why aren't they becoming Christians? What can I say that's clever? What can I say that's right? Know this, only God can change someone. You can be the professor of whatever, you can be the most cleverest person on earth, but just know that unless God reveals himself to that person, It's just words. It is the Holy Spirit that actually grows inside someone, that fills someone. Your job is not to convert. Your job is to disciple. God is the one that converts. God is the one that reveals. If I said to you, I know Jurgen Klopp, and he's such a wonderful guy, and I tell you all the good things about him, that's all fine. You'll smile and say, oh, I'd love to meet Jurgen. But unless Jurgen Klopp came and actually was here, physically here to meet you, it's just words, isn't it? So only God can change the people around you. Only God can reveal himself to those who actually don't know him. The challenge for you and me, then, is to make disciples. Now, making a disciple is not the same thing as somebody filling a commitment card. You know, sometimes in the past, like with the Billy Graham things, you know, when someone makes a commitment, they write, yes, I've become a Christian, and that's fine. But God wants you to disciple people. That means to get alongside people, point them to Christ, share your faith with them. This church should be a discipleship centre where people feel, if I come to Eastgate Union, I'm going to feel something about God. I'm going to know something about God, and I'm going to grow in Christ. We need to disciple and not convert. But point two, we need to look around, don't we? The message that Paul and Barnabas had was quite divisive. There were people that believed and there were people that didn't. In Iconium, they heard about a plot to hurt them, to harm them. So they went away to a place called Lystra and they went to Derby. Now, Derby is not near Nottingham. This is a very different Derby. If they travelled to Derby, they would have had the longest journey probably ever in biblical history. This is a different Derby, and they were probably refugees, and they probably went there just to get some protection. And again, the temptation is, we've been persecuted. Let's just keep quiet. Let's just keep quiet. But they didn't. They went and preached the gospel. And what did happen? There was a man there who was disabled from birth. He couldn't walk, but he listened to Paul. And it says, Paul saw him. Quite often we get into our groups and we don't look around in our community. We don't see the poverty. We don't see those who are struggling because we're happy in our group. We need to look around what's going on in Louth and beyond. This led to a mix-up in culture and beliefs. They believed that Paul and Barnabas were gods. Now, there's more to this story than just what you read in the scripture. 50 years before this happened, there was a Latin poet called Ovid, and he told this story. There was a Greek god called Jupiter. In Greek, he was Zeus. And a Greek god and a Latin god called Mercury, who was Hermes. They came down to this place called Phrygia, disguised as men, and they went to look for hospitality, and they all turned away. Go away. We don't want you here, whoever you are. We don't want visitors. Except one couple. And one couple had these two people in, and they blessed that couple. They destroyed all the other people's homes. So that's a traditional story in that area. And they would have been a very familiar story. So when two people came to Lystra and healed this man, they thought about this story. What did Paul and Barnabas do? They were furious with them because they were trying to worship them. The Zeus priest came down with the balls. And they're saying, look, this is utterly disgusting. Utterly cows, there you go. And they tore. And when they tore clothes in scripture, often it's for blasphemy. They said, don't ever do that. We are not gods. We are human beings. When we talk about Jesus with others, we often think, they think what we think. Have you ever had that conversation with someone where someone's, you talk about Jesus to someone and they're nodding and you think they understand what I'm saying? They don't always. We had a situation where we had a lady from India help us with our toddler group, and she heard about Jesus and she even came to church. And then she went back to India during COVID, and we had this toddler group live through Zoom so that all the mums could still go on. And she was there in India. And so we assumed that she was from a Christian background until she wanted to show us her idols. And it was like, oh, right, okay. So because for her, Jesus is just another God. We don't believe that, but she believes that. So sometimes when you are reaching out to people, we have to be clear with who Jesus really is. And sometimes that may be a conversation with JWs or Mormons, because they'll claim lots of things about God. And you think, oh, they mentioned the name God. I believe in God too. But they believe different things. We have to be clear with the gospel message. We have to have a clear understanding of who Jesus is. My last point then, as we finish, is let's stand on the rock. Paul and Barnabas, as you've read, had a really hard time. When life is tough, that's when you find out your Christian faith, okay? We can all turn up at church on a sunny day and it's lovely. But if you really want to know about your faith in God, how much you trust him, it's when everything gets tough. A few years ago, there was a census, and some of you might know this, but under the title religion, it said, which religion are you? And people made it up, the religion of Jedi. I don't know if you heard about that one. So in the British census, I think 2011, some people's religion was Jedi. They were Star Wars fans. But I can tell you now that if it was life and death situation, they would no longer be Jedis. They would throw it out the window. If you want to know really about your faith, it's when life gets tough, when the world around you collapses. That's when you know whether you are standing on the rock. We know we're in a battle, don't we? Ephesians 6 tells us we're in a spiritual warfare. And it's not against flesh and blood. So don't hate another human being because they don't agree with you. But it's against the spiritual principalities. We know that the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking to destroy you. Try to stop Paul and Barnabas. The Jews travelled over 100 miles to stop Paul and Barnabas. Did you notice that in the scripture? Jews from Antioch Pisidian came to persecute Paul and Barnabas. That's 100 miles without cars. It's not today, get in a car and drive 100 miles. They went all the way to stop the gospel message from being preached. And how fickle people can be. On one hand, the people wanted to worship them. 5 minutes later, they were stoning them. Doesn't that remind you of Jesus when he came into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, and they were all singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. A week later, they crucified him. People are fickle. So they dragged Paul out, thinking he was dead. The disciples gathered around, and I'm assuming they were praying for him. And Paul got up and went back into the city, and they left for Derby. Think about that. Paul nearly died. What are you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to rest. I just think I've got a few scratches from the rocks. He woke up and he carried on. Can you imagine that? You had a life-threatening situation. I'm going to carry on, Paul says. What an unshakable faith, because he was standing on the rock. In Matthew 24, Jesus talks about persecution and end times. He says in Matthew 24, verse 9 onwards, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. They'll betray one another. They will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. It will be tough for you and me as Christians, but hold firm to Christ. Place your feet on the rock. We will have tough times, but let's stand on the rock of our salvation. Psalm 62, verses 6 to 8 says, "Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Barnabas, Paul, you and I, we can carry on through the darkest times because we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are on that rock that cannot be shaken. So let us serve God where you are and where you are sent. Look around at who God wants you to minister to. And let's not be afraid, for we are on the rock. Let me pray before we finish. Lord God, there are so many people that don't know you, and you offer eternal life. Lord, show us the people that you want us to preach to talk about you to. But Lord, take that burden away that we feel we have to convert someone, and help us know and trust that actually you're going to do that. You're going to reveal yourself to others. So Lord, come Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to the lost. Reveal yourself to our friends and family, to our work colleagues. And I pray, Lord God, that we will be there to help encourage and disciple those who come to faith. Amen.